We have our next one last hearing. It's for George, is it Corbin?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'm going to try to say it right.
Okay, sir.
Mombor. If you'll just have a seat for a second.
Okay.
And then, well, if you could state your name and ABC number.
George Corbin, my number is 8139.
Yeah, go ahead and have a seat. I'm just going to do a quick summary and then we'll talk to you about it. That's fine, thank you. Again, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for 31412A parole hearing to consider regular parole or absolute discharge or whether you continue in home arrest status. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. As you can see, we have a four-member panel, but I'll start on the opposite side. The honorable is Gail Rittenhouse. The center of the bench is our esteemed board chairman, Mr. Michael Johnson. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. Because we heard and voted on your case approximately 8 months ago, pretty close to it, I'll begin this hearing with a brief summary.
Okay.
It's my understanding you're 57 years old.
Yes, sir.
Certified eligible by the Arizona Department of Corrections for regular parole or absolute discharge. The crime of first-degree murder occurred on or about May 29, 1987. You're approximately 26 years old at the time of the incident offense and on probation for firearms violations, correct?
Firearms violations?
Did you have a prior firearms violation?
No.
I apologize for that. Strike that. I was going from a previous summary, and we'll just strike that. Just 1 second. But you were, it was for first degree murder on May 29th,
correct? Yes, sir.
Okay. I think that was just an oversight. On May 17, 1991, you were found guilty by jury trial. On July 12, 1991, you were sentenced to life for first-degree murder. And you were granted home arrest on October 16, 2017. According to your community corrections progress report, you live with your adult son. You attend counseling and your participation has been rated as good, which is the highest grade. You have had no positives for drug or alcohol testing. This is your fourth hearing before the board. It should be noted that we have a letter dated October 5th, 2017 for the Yuma County Attorney's Office, which opposed your original parole, but I'm saying that for the sake of accounting for the government. I believe this is your first time before the board in person, correct?
Yes, sir.
So can you tell us about your progress since you were released from inside prison on home arrest status?
Okay, sir.
Oh, now you can come.
Okay.
Sorry, pardon me. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Jones, for letting me have a second chance. I've been doing really good. I've been taking all my classes required. I had to see my grandchildren for the first time. Be with them and play with them. The big part of my life, being with my sons and daughters, my sisters, and other family members. I'm sorry. It just, you know. We go places, I'm limited to places. I have to explain to the younger grandchildren and stuff that, you know, I can't go and I have to ask, I always tell, because I have to ask Mark, they know him, that's Mark, you know, P.O. here. And so when we go places, it's limited, you know, and it's mostly at the house, you know. And like they ask me, like ask me when I go to a baseball game or games or stuff like that, I can't go. But I see it in their faces, you know, and it tears me up, you know. And I tell them there'll be only one time, you know, I'll be able to do that, you know. It's just, I have to play by the rules and which I have and what was set upon me, okay. I'm disabled. I got my paper here. I have a heart doctor. I go to get checked every week. I got a regular doctor too. I got chronic heart disease. I got chronic disease. They don't know yet what's wrong with my back. They have to x-ray. They don't know if my sort of thought. But I'm gonna tell the children that, so. And I go to my classes like you guys told me to go to anger management. I got paper here from my teacher here that she told to let you guys to show you my status. My class is in until July. And if you want to see them all, I'll pass it back to you if you don't mind being listening. And I've only got a few more weeks left to graduation of my classes. And like I said, my grandchildren are everything to me, my sons and daughters, my brothers and sisters. And now I got kind of bad news that my brother's gonna make it this year sometime. And he's far away. I don't like to ask you guys because I didn't have the chance to see my mom and dad to say goodbye. But I could have it to say goodbye to my own brother. You know, if I could live on Charles Paul, which Mark knows, I explained this to him.
Hey, I'm sorry, I recognize this is emotional. I don't mean to interrupt, but are you saying your brother who's wasn't terminal illness?
Yes.
Yes,
he had 3, 4, 5 surgeries. He's on dialysis. And he has something else now, but they say he's not going to make it this year, you know. And he, you know, he can barely talk to me on the phone, and he's always asking for me.
Who does he live, sir?
He lives in California, boy.
Thank you. Because it's part of me.
Yeah, sorry. And like I said, when my mother and father passed away, you know, I didn't have the chance to say goodbye, and I got to live with that for the rest of my life, you know. And also, you know, I have other family members that can't come see me at this time from other states. And I would like to be on General Paul so I can go visit them because I don't have the money and stuff like that. But most of all, I do everything with you. You guys asked me to do more, I'll do more, you know. And like I said, I got bad health, and I just pray to God every day, and like I said, you know, I just do everything I'm supposed to do, and I mean, I'm limited in doing everything I can, you know. But my grandchildren's the world to me, my sons and daughters now. I have a chance now because I was gone when they were small. Now we're bonding, I can see things, and we do things. We have picnics at the house or barbecues and, you know, and get together. But I can't go nowhere with them. Like, if we want to go to the park, you know, with other family members, we said they can't. They go where I'm at, then they go, oh, they forget that, oh, yeah, I can't go nowhere, you know what I'm saying? And I can't go to the lakes. I can't go fishing with my sons, you know what I'm saying? But everything else is good, you know, and I obey all my doctor's instructions. I got 2 doctors. I'm getting a 3rd doctor now. I'm supposed to be sample. Like, constantly every week to get my body checked out, my insides and stuff. And I take my classes and I pass all my tests, my classes every week, which is the paper, but I should not get to this gentleman here. You guys see, and my class ends in July, and I'll be getting my certificate, you know. But, you know, I'm just all around my family constantly, and I live in my home, you know, with my family. And it's, I don't know, I can't do it, sir, because you know I'm on this, you know, and all I can do, the unlimited, you know what I'm saying? And until you ladies and gentlemen give me General Paul, I can do more, you know what I'm saying? I could help. I told Mark my dreams would be once I finish the schooling in the next 5 weeks, I would like to go to college, you know what I'm saying? And not only that, I would like to also, because I got in prison, I used to be a mentor about that. I think that up to you guys a while back. Last year, I got my certificate, and I told Mark, That is my certificate right here, sir. That I would like to go to, if I can, go to the juveniles and speak to the children there and let them know prison ain't like what people are saying prison is like, you know, they make it like it's funny games and stuff, but those kind of people don't care about people. But I tell them the truth, I lived the life, you know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, it's no joke or nothing, you know, and I would like to do that to show that, because I can't go to work, but at least I could, you know.
Excuse me.
You didn't have to.
Okay, I just wanted to let you guys see this, you know. So this came from the warden and stuff. This was my job in there. And I helped men in here, which I explained to you guys in there. And I know if I could help men that are my age and older and younger, I could help kids. They don't end up doing life sentence or world death war or anything and change around the seat. You don't want it. This, like what happened to me, you don't want that to happen to you. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I want to do, and I explained that to Mark already, if you guys give me the opportunity to do that. And I don't do anything else you guys ask me to do, to help the community out and help kids, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't like to see people in there, you know, especially young people. They get scared by other people, you know, younger people or older people that think it's fun and games. It's not fun and games. You know, this is reality. This is your life. You know what I'm saying? And if I can help one child or help a bunch of a group of them and see, they see me, I'm real. You know what I'm saying? I'm not no fake. You know what I'm saying? I'm, you know, and I don't even know. Maybe their family members, they probably heard about me in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh yeah, he's out now, and you know what I'm saying? Listen, you know, don't want to look like that or do anything like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I'm asking you, you know, if you do choose, I would like to be in general parole, you know what I'm saying? And like I told you, I'll never come back. I gave you guys my word. It's simple, you can even look back. I'm an old man. I'm an old sick man, you know what I'm saying? All I want to do is help, give good, show people, keep negative people away. The negative people put positive in their lives, you know what I'm saying? Show them me. This is not what it is, man. You know what I'm saying? And if I get that opportunity, you know what I'm saying? You know, like I said, you guys hold my life in your hands, you know? You let me out and I showed you now. You know, I've been out like, about, what, 8 months old, around there? And I'm going to keep on doing good, no matter what. I'm not going back like I told you. Remember when I talked to you? I'm not going to go back, man.
If I may, and also so that we give you a chance to your supporters to speak to you, but first of all, I do want to say encouraging you to just keep taking care of yourself, because I can't tell how many times I've heard, and I know there's some bad illnesses out there, so I recognize that it can be bad, but there's a lot of people that really take care of themselves and their shorter lives that they thought they're going to have, they live a good, long, healthy life. So I get putting that first. And that it's good to see that you have support. It sounds like your son is really got your back.
My son and my sister's here, they've got my back, and other family members that they can't take the day off, they got my back. You know, we're a family. You know, everybody looks out.
I'll say this just for a smile, as a Latino, but you know, in Mexico they say that family is the only institution you can count on, and you make me think of that. But I read your report. It sounds like you've been adhering to your conditions. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you.
We just looked at that he was taking anger management classes. Have you completed those, or are you still
going? No, sir. My classes are over in 4 weeks. I will graduate in 4 weeks.
Okay.
That's the status right there. Is the teachers let me know how good I'm doing. Every week I'm passing my tests. I passed 23 tests now. I got 4 weeks to go, sir, and I'll get my certificate and everything. Next time when I come, I'll bring it and I'll show it to you with the picture and everything.
Also, I assume this is probably really good for your health. if you're dealing with heart issues, you learn how to manage stress and that sort of thing.
Yes, sir, and also the doctor, I go over for treatments too for my heart, which I have here paperwork here I have from the doctor, which I have to take certain exercises I gotta do. I can't do like regular exercises as my person my age because of my condition, you know. And that you would like to see that show?
No, sir. I really, I think the broader picture is good enough. I want you to feel like you have to go solve your
heart problem. I take medication every day. I take heart medication, 5 of them a day. You know what I'm saying? And I take high blood pressure medication too. You know, and I got to take care of. I'm always, you know, so many hours I got to take medication. I got to relax, take naps. That's why, you know, my condition is, you know. And now when I'm out here, I got better treatment, better care, and better medication now. But I had in prison, used to give me just generic. Now they said, no, you're getting the better stuff. And I can tell, I can feel it in me. In time, I know my body will get more stronger, you know, and stuff like that. But right now, it's a beating. It's like I ran 10 miles just standing here talking to you.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, you know, excuse me.
You know, and please, you know, except our, you know, can sometimes find the right word because it's not sympathy that I mean, but like, you know, that we're rooting for your recovery and your health.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, what were your questions?
No.
Are there any individuals that don't want to speak?
My son, my older son I live with, and my sister, Adrian.
If you want to just have a seat, they can come up.
And then Mark, please. You know,
sure. Yeah, just have a seat. You have a rest, sir, and your son can take the podium.
Okay. You want to put that in my file?
Oh, no, actually, just get back to me.
Okay.
Sorry. So, yeah, I mean, thank you.
Hello, my name is George Gorgian Jr., and I want to first start off in thanking you guys for releasing my father back into our lives. My dad's a very passionate man. When it comes to his family, I see that every day. He does have a lot of things that he brings to the table. He gives great advice to his grandchildren. They look up to him clearly a lot. Right when the first time they met him, actually, and just start talking to him, whatever, you can just see the passion in their eyes and the love and then how my dad, I just had to sit back and just watch because I wanted to see exactly what they're experiencing, and then I just want to see how my dad interacted with them. And then clearly it was just like love at first sight. There was like, if he knew him for years and years, you know, and even the kids, they like in a split second, like you could just tell they had the same response back. And the reason why I'm here to hear, like I said, I'm not only trying to get him off, you know, to general parole, but to let him know and to let you know that I'm proud of him. I'm proud of him, all the accomplishments that he's done since the day he started. He was on a journey. He never stopped. Once he walked into my door, he showed me initiative and everything that he needed to do. He put up front to me and said, hey, look, I need to get this and this and this done. He took pride. He took responsibility. And he also led by example by also telling the grandchildren and myself, you know what I mean, saying things of like, you know, do good things, be something in life, tell the grandchildren, you have to go to school, education is the main thing, preaching stuff to them and telling stuff like that, talking about the Lord. Me and my father, I've been dreaming for this for years and years and years and years, to have able to sit down and watch church with my father, to pray with my father, to actually be able to bond with my father and all this and that. You know, I'm just speaking out of my heart and telling you guys exactly what I see. And I, like I said, clearly this, my father is a changed man, and he will do anything that possible in his power that you ask from him. And like I said, he has the family to back him up, and we're constantly, we'll do anything to help him that you guys ask for him. So I just want to make that short and sweet, but he does have a passion, and like I said, one of his passions is to be a person to talk to the inmates, you know, and explain to them his side of the story, and, you know, lead them in the right way, you know, to better them. So that's all I really have to say, and I, like I said, thank you for the time, and I hope you guys really take some time and really think about this. And like I said, he's okay. He's ready to go out there and do what he needs to do in his life. Thank you.
I do want to ask you a quick question. It's out of curiosity and respect. And that is, you know, you've been able to support your father, but what are you doing? This isn't your hearing.
No, I'm a maintenance foreman. Okay. So what I do is I do electrical, plumbing, AC, anything I can build from scratch, from bottom up. I mean, you can check. I've been working with my company over almost going on 9 years now. I've been in the business since I was 18 years old. I'm 37 years old. So I have a lot of people when I... And this is like I said, my dad had a big thing. When I was young, visiting him in prison, he always told me, you don't want to come here, you don't want to come here. You can check all my...
Trust me,
this doesn't bug me at all.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm just telling you, like I said, he, as a child, he told me, do good, be something in life. And I choose to learn how to work on AC, like work AC, plumbing, electrical. I run a 570 unit property, and I'm like pretty much my position is a top foreman for like 8-9 properties. And you can clarify, talk to my.
I know you were able to take care of your father, and I was just curious.
And like I said, that's a big thing about me in my life is my family. My family comes first, and like I said, I'll sit down and talk to my nieces and nephews and make sure they know that, you know, hey, be something in life. Do the right thing. Make sure you're positive. Stay around. Don't go next to negative people. Hang out with the right crowd. And I led by example, because you can check everything in my history. I have no criminal career or nothing. And that's why I leave, and I thank God for everything I have. So,
well, thank you for your service to the community, and I guess you.
Thank you, sir. Hi, my name's Adrian Bourdain. I'm George's sister. I've been here with him from the beginning, and I'm still here, and I'm going to be here until the end of one of us, which I hope, you know, it's a long, long time. I would like to thank you for allowing me to have time with my brother. He's 8 years older than me. And so, I went to visit him. I was there after my parents passed away. I made sure I went a lot more. His children were small, so I was there every weekend, every holiday, every food visit I could go. I live in California, so... I have two girls, and I raised them on my own. My relationship with her father didn't work out, so I got a lot. Even though he was in prison, I got a lot of guidance and counseling from him. Like I said, he's 8 years older than me. He always was positive, you know, that I could do it, and I could, you know, and my focus was my girls, and he was there for them. Their dad wasn't around after we separated. And so they came to visit since I was pregnant. They, you know, were there to visit, and he guided them to stay in school, go to college, and maybe something, not to, even their girls, not to go where he was, you know, because it could happen even though they were girls. And I just want to thank Mr. Adams on Saturday. I was able to get along with him the first time in over 28 years. I was able to step out and outside of the home and outside of the prison and go to mom to him and have a meal. And I want to thank you for that, sir. I mean, it might be something small, but here around here, I mean, I've never been in trouble. We take a lot of things for granted, and I seen that just seeing George in prison and seeing the other women that were there visiting with their families, and I was there all these years with him. All these years, and seeing that the same men that were with him, their families weren't there anymore, or it was different people that had come for a while. And he's always been positive, and I dropped out of high school, and my dad got sick, and he told me, you can go back. I went back, and I have the same, I've always had, you know, my job, I've been there 12 years, and my daughter, she's working for a hospital, she's doing insurance, and she's looking, she said, wants to go to an RN, because he's constantly telling them, you know, to do better, to not take life for granted, any situation, we're going to open up a photography business in California, and I want to bring it to Arizona and incorporate that with George also. You know, I don't, he's older than me, and he does have, you know, medical issues, and I don't know, nobody knows, you know, I could be hit by a car tomorrow, nobody knows what time, you know, how much we have here, and I just want to enjoy him, and you don't know, that meant so much to me on Saturday. I came from California, and well, I'm always here, whatever he needs, or I come and visit him, I try and come every other weekend. 4 hours away I drive, I fly when I can, my girls come, my girls were here last time, we had half of the room here when he came, when he was on the TV, and they couldn't be here to my daughter, she had her baby, and so my younger one wanted to stay with her, you know, since I was here, so that's why they're not here with me, my grandson. I can even talk to my grandson now, my grandson is biracial, he's mixed, and his dad's not there, and he talks to him because he'll catch Isaiah, like, kind of talking back to his mom, and, you know, we're at a visit, and we're women in the home, you know, and I'm still by myself taking care of my girls and seeing George, and, you know, he tells me, he talked to me, you know, when she had Isaiah, and he's like, you don't want him to come to prison, you know, he's a mixed child, you know, and just things, just to, you know, I mean, he's going to be six now, but it's things that I know George can talk to him and bring to him if he sees him going in the wrong direction, because God willing, George is going to be here a lot longer, you know, his medical issues, you know, hopefully is going to clear up, but he's just very positive and with everybody, and I'm sorry, I'm trying to just contain myself. You know, he wants to be independent. He wants to be independent. He doesn't want to always be with George, even though, you know, I mean, we're here. Like, I, you know, my parents would be here. You know, God made it possible. But in some way, they're here with us, and they know he's, you know, he's home, and he's doing good. And he calls me. We talk nightly, 2 hours, 3 hours when I get off work. And I go to work at 4 a.m, and I make sure that we have contact. He makes sure, you know, he still checks on me, big brother, even when he's over here.
I want to give my fellow board members a chance to ask any questions if they have any questions. I think you've called him
brother. I don't know. I mean, there's just so much that he gives that. I know he's been in prison that he has to offer, and he wants to do good, and he wants to be independent and take care of himself. He doesn't want to rely on anybody, you know, and like he doesn't want to see children going into the system and things for no, they don't need to be there. There's a lot of kids, like I'm saying, my kids didn't have their fathers there. Maybe these children, that's why maybe they're there. Who knows? Maybe they didn't have their mother, but maybe if they hear somebody and see somebody that went through it, you know, there's a small percentage that survived that many years or that have family that are there this long that even care. But thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much for your time. And thank you for representing. If officer, if you can come to the podium again, and again, we're on the record so you can state your name.
Parole Officer Mark Abbott with the Electronic Monitoring Unit.
And is there anything you can share with the board today regarding Mr. Goodwin's progress?
Since he's been released, he has taken it very slow. His health has been his number one priority. Of course, he's going to counseling as required by parole and the Board of Clemency. He has taken it slow. He has been extremely compliant. Everything we've asked of him, he does. Again, his health has been his number one main focus. Generally, I'm very sweet to the point when it comes to this stuff, but I do want to just put on record, this is a very emotional hearing. Generally speaking, the Gordine family is very, very outspoken and very cordial and always smiling. I've never had a phone call or a conversation with anyone in the family. They are totally invested in his support, so which is a positive for him. One of the best things that he has going, I believe, given some of the medical conditions that he has. So. They have been a very positive influence on him. With regards to violations or any problems since he's been out, he's had none. And I've had him since, I believe, the beginning of December. Give an exact date, December 13th.
Thank you, officer. Any questions for board members? Okay, thank you. And Mr. Gordon, you can stay sitting. I think it's probably good that you have some rest. You've shared quite a bit with us, and obviously this has been a positive hearing. So is from where you're sitting, well, I think we should be able to hear you from the microphone. Okay. But is there a final statement that you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion?
Well, yeah, I would like to be on general parole so I could spend more time with my family members and here with me now and the ones who are distant from me. And like I said, what my goals are going to be, I already set my goals, what next year will be like, and I'm taking everything slow, and my main thing is my health, you know. And without your health, you ain't nothing, you know what I'm saying? So, and I want to be around and see my grandchildren growing, my sons and daughters, you know, be with them as long as I can, and other family members. But I thank you guys very much. Like, I thank you guys for setting me free, and I'm not going to let you guys down, you know. And I'm going to do good. I'm going to strive every day of my life and everything. And then another thing I got to ask you, can I please have my license back so I can drive?
I'm not sure if that's within our purview. I would talk to your parole officer.
Well, what happened, sir, on the parole, the man, somebody, because I don't understand this, my license had never had anything to do with my case.
No, I think that's a transition thing when we say as they're coming out of the inside the prison system, driving restrictions, but I don't know if that's necessarily something we lift. Does anyone have any insight on that?
Because I was told from my CO4s and stuff like that, and when I came out, that it's up to the parole board to give me back my license, and I didn't understand why. You know, I would like to have my license, so, you know, I like to be, like I said, go where I have to go to my doctor business or go with my grandchildren to the store and stuff like that. So, you know, waiting around for them, you know.
I think we can probably bring the hearing to close pretty soon, but I will ask Mr. Westby real quick. That's a box we often check in their transition, but isn't that handled by the parole officer eventually in their process? Mm-hmm. Okay, it's not something that we need to determine from the bench. Okay, so I just want to be clear on that.
Mr. Adams.
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Adams, sorry. Yes, it, just for the sake of the recording.
Again, Parole Officer Mark Adams with the electronic monitor.
Thank you, sir.
So he has a condition that said he's not allowed to operate a motor vehicle that has been instated by the Board of Clemency. Because of that, parole cannot allow him to drive. If he has a condition that says he would be allowed to drive under the discretion of parole, then he would be allowed to. But because it says he may not operate a motor vehicle,
that's the first time.
Yeah, this is the first time this has come up. I just thank you for that validation, because I thought maybe I missed something. But I can certainly I can certainly write it in. I don't think we'll hear anything.
Right.
Okay. So I'm sorry, are you close to the end of your statement?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I thank you very much. I appreciate your time and everything, ladies and gentlemen. And whatever decision you make, like I said, you know, it's in God's hands, and you know what I'm saying? That's all I can do more. But I thank you very much for your time and energy.
Okay. Well, if you'll just have a seat. The board will be going into discussion, and as you've heard before, it may sound like we're speaking with you directly, but it's the board discussing the case amongst itself and the open meeting laws of Arizona. So we will come back to you shortly with our decision, okay? Thank you, Mr. Gordine. Fellow board members, I think based on everything that we've gathered, I'm comfortable, especially with the status report. I think that's appropriate language from his parole officer, that we can safely graduate Mr. Goldman from home arrest to regular parole, but I may be seeing it through a very narrow scope. So is there anything that we feel that we need to discuss? Okay, then we're going to make a motion, and that is regarding Mr. George Gordine, ADC number 088139. My motion is to grant regular parole and to deny absolute discharge, and I will just state for the sake of making sure that it's clear that we're granting regular parole, we're denying absolute discharge of home arrest, and that is my motion.
Agree.
Okay, just one second. I made the motion, Luis Quinones, and that was seconded by Mr. Neal.
Yes, sir.
Agreed upon by the Honorable Mr. Johnson, and the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Again, release type granted is general parole. Release type denied is absolute discharge. And I will make a notation just for the sake of clarity.
If you don't mark that box up.
Yes, it's no, so we just don't mark it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would work.
I think what I'm going to do is just check follow for the sake of conditions of release, follow mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions. And then I will make a notation on the bottom, and that is to allow operation of motor vehicle. Although I will say again, just for the sake of clarity in this discussion, that hasn't really been an issue for us before, but if it needs clarity, then we'll just make it nice and clean. Okay, Mr. Gordine, I don't think there's anything else I really that need to add. You've heard how we voted. It was unanimous to grant regular parole, to deny absolute discharge, and you're being graduated from home arrest to regular parole. We put a notation in there, of course, to continue to follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions, which go without saying, and to allow the operation of motor vehicle. And I believe that this will bring our hearing to a close. Anything I'm missing, all board members? Yes, Mr. Gordine.
Excuse me, one question I'd like to ask for my license. Can I ever get my license this week, or?
I will have to turn back to parole officer. I think he's hearing me state that it's on the notation that you can, and if there's some sort of formalities that you need to go through your parole officer, we're just saying it's blessed.
Okay.
But you can continue to handle it through your parole officer.
Okay, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Take care. God bless. And I'll see you in December of this year?
When the UC certifies you again to appear before this board.
It's not same.
I'm not
because
sure.
They relate right now.
This is the Department of Correction does the certifications.
Yeah, they do the certifications. That's why it's not that we don't know or care, but we're not involved in the certification process. People get put on the docket, they come before us, and then we hear the case.
So. Okay, thank you very much.
But thank you, good luck, and please take care of yourself.
That's all you guys, and I'll see you in a couple months.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Stay healthy, guys.